You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and our God and Father, deal with our heads and our hearts. As we open thy word, God, help us. Thank you very, very much. You know everything, where we're coming from, where we're going, and everything about us. So God, help us in understanding, give us a solid, safe, sure foundation. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Just a note, if I may, I mentioned the fog index last week, I think. And the fog index we used 100 years ago to help you understand the reading. It's a reading index. If you're writing, if you're a writer and you want to write for the general public, it gives you some help on how to write, what to write, how to write it, the fog index. And so in the process of that, and remember now, in order for people to enjoy and understand, you need, if you were a writer, you need to write, if you would, at the level of 12 years old to 15. Don't go beyond that. Stay to the 12, 15-year-old. Now, in the light of that, and the index is made up of counting syllables and long words and short words and the average length of a sentence and putting everything together, and you get a fog index, which is for writers to know. And I'll start with the what the top would be. If you were writing for a newspaper, or it's too difficult for a newspaper, if it's over 18, it's too difficult. If a newspaper is over 18 index, too much for the public. A university student would be 14 to 16. A college student, 11 through 13. Rating. 10 would be an average 15-year-old. 7 and 8 would be the general public. Number 6 would include the Bible, Mark Twain, and Shakespeare. Number 6. Years ago, I said, if I remember right from doing it so much, I said it was for a 9-year-old. So we know that 10 is for the average 15-year-old, 7 and 8 down that level for the general public. And number 6 would be, if you're going to read the Bible, if you're going to write the Bible, it would be written, the Bible is written for number 6, for a 9-year-old. Shakespeare, for a 9-year-old. And so I knew you'd be so encouraged with that. In case you read Shakespeare, you know, for bedtime, little bedtime, Shakespeare. Or if you want to go out and visit Mark Twain, he's 6, number 6, Mark Twain. Now, having said that, here you've got your Bible. And say, I can't understand the Bible, it's too hard, really. Why is that? Why is the Bible too hard? Because it deals with God. And people don't want to deal with God. It deals with light. And people love darkness rather than light. It deals with life. And we who are separated apart from God, we don't enjoy the life that God would give us in Christ. So therefore, we have our worldly kind of life, but not his kind of life. So we push it aside. Now, in the light of that, Gospel of John, as we've been looking at it, Gospel of John is written for the last living apostle. He's writing so that you could see the whole Old Testament, the whole New Testament. You could look at it, and what's it all about? It's all about God revealing himself. So when all the Old Testament and all the New Testament rolls, when it's done, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. God making himself known, understandable. Now, having said that, if I may pick up, please. Remember, John the Baptist is included by the Apostle John because John the Baptist was the voice of the one who introduced the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that pointed, said, "That's the one, that's the one." And that's why John is included. He was the one that pointed out, first of all, he's the one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and if I can, picking up, please, in thought, in verse 28, remember, there's 3 days in a row given. And in verse 28, these things were done in Beth Abara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing on the other side of the Jordan. The next day, the very next day after that, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now remember, this is written, Jesus' baptism, his temptation in the wilderness, is back here. The Apostle John is writing, looking back, John the Baptist has already been through this. So, "And taketh away the sin of the world." Verse 30. "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me," comes before me. "Therefore am I come baptizing with," verse 30. "After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." So, and he mentions that, remember, in verse 27 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ is the pre-incarnate Son of God. And he came, but John the Baptist is there, going to point him out. But before John the Baptist ever was, he was. Now, having said that, this is the one, this is the Lamb, this is the Lamb, this is the one, this is the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 31, John the Baptist's testimony. "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." So John's baptism, just to do it quickly, but John's baptism, John came to outside of Israel, the traditional Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, they're all practicing in a traditional Israel way. And John the Baptist steps outside of Israel, steps outside of the city, into the wilderness, down by the Jordan, and he invites, the public is invited, whosoever is invited, to come and repent, come and realize that the system that they were living in and under would never save them. They needed to get their heart right because John is going to introduce the Word become flesh, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So therefore, all the people that wanted to came, and they were baptized. And being baptized, they were reminded unto repentance that they were to be as they were to ready their heart, that they needed to understand they needed a Savior. The righteousness that God required, they did not have. They needed to repent in their heart, and turn around, and look to God. How so? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And they were to look to the Lamb of God who would take away their sin, who would forgive their sin. They were to do that. And their repentance was to get their heart ready. Didn't save them at all. It got their heart ready that they said, "We need a Savior. The system won't work. Our personal system won't work." Now, having said that, so John's public ministry was taking place. And in John's public ministry, in there, what he was doing, the people, sinners, people, to get their heart right, to get saved, repentance. Now, thus, in the light of that, over hit John's message then, John's message was very clear, and the public submitted, the ones that were rebaptized, submitted to his message by water baptism. So now, in order to get this section, go with me, please, over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to have some detailed help. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all deal with the subject. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The king. I'm going to point to the king, the one who taketh away the sin of the world. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle upon his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And John was outside the system, totally, and that's why the Pharisees and Sadducees rejected him. He didn't fit in. Verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. They needed a Savior. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet fit for repentance." Have a heart. Show that you're really repentant. Show that you need to be saved by trusting the Savior. "And think not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham as to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed," verse 11, "baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." He's the one. This is he. This is the one. The Lamb of God. "My job," said John, "is to let it known, be known in a very, very public way to all of Israel, Jerusalem, Judea, and all regions, to everyone that would listen, pay attention. My job is to point to the one." And they all came, more or less, from regions beyond and about and nearby, and were baptized, realizing John had a specific purpose to point to the Lamb of God, to know which one is the Messiah, the Christ. Now, if I can, in verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner in the barn, but he will turn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus," here they are being baptized, "then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him," to be baptized. "And John forbade him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?'" Here is John saying, forbade has to do with to hinder, to prevent. Very active, very earnest, preventing. And John said, "Listen, don't." The Lord steps forward. "No, don't." Hand, voice, movement. "No, don't. Remember, he's been baptizing all kinds of people, young and old, men and women. Here they're coming. And he had no problem, one after another. But this one stood out. Why? Well, first of all, John is related to him by Mary Elizabeth. And John grew up. He's only 6 months older than the Lord. They grew up. Boyhood, etc., growth, until John went into the wilderness. And so does John the Baptist? No. The Lord? Sure he does. Did he know that that young boy, age 12, remember in Luke 2, he dazzled the authorities in Jerusalem in the temple with his knowledge? Wow. They wanted to know who he was that had such authority. Well, John the Baptist, didn't you know? Sure, he said, he's one unique fellow. Unique, he's not like anyone else. He's unblameable, unblameable, pure, pure, unblameable. His whole person, his whole demeanor, there's no one like him. And so when he stepped forward in the midst of all the people coming, John said, no. Thus, our Lord Jesus answered in verse 15, Jesus answering said unto him, suffer, allow it to be so, now, for thus it becometh us, U.S., to fulfill all righteousness. Then he, John the Baptist, suffered, allowed him. John went through and baptized him. Now, having said that, and it becometh us for righteousness. John, you have a wonderful responsibility, biblically, Isaiah 40, etc., to introduce me to the public. It is God's will. God raised you up. John the Baptist, remember, is a Nazarite, like Samson. He's a Nazarite. He's set apart from the day he was born, and he's special. And John the Baptist grew up special. John the Baptist, everyone knew John the Baptist was special. And John the Baptist's ministry was a wonderful ministry. It was God's wonderful purpose to raise him up. And John, in the will of God, was doing the right thing in the right way. John was to receive the giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. The giver of his ministry was the Lord. And John the Baptist received him because, verse 15, it suffer it now, for thus it becometh us, U.S. God included John and himself. He didn't say, I have to do my part, said the Lord Jesus, and John, you need to do your part in the outworking of the will of God. And thus, it is for righteousness. John, you represent the law and the life of God. And you can't enjoy the law, you can't fulfill the law, and you can't enjoy the life of God without righteousness. You can't have it. You have to have righteousness. You have to be right. And you are telling people they need to get right by repentance. That's right. You are going to point to me, and I'm going to submit to you. Because you see, I am the one, the Lamb of God, that makes right possible. No one can get right apart from me. So John, you yield and submit and allow me to be baptized by you. Because you're in the will of God. You're in the will of God for a good reason, as you'll see in a minute. To point to me. That's what you're there for. My job, as you baptize me, I am going to turn around and baptize you. I'm going to turn around and set you apart, John. You yield to me, as it were, I should say. And the Apostle John is going to yield. He must increase and I must what? Decrease. John's going to bend down to him. The Lord is going to bend, as it were, to him to be baptized. But only now, N-O-W, now it is for us. But after this, John, you will bow to me after this. Now is very important. In the sentence, now is emphatic. It means it stands out with big letters. Now, what's going to happen now when you baptize? So now, having said that, and you'll notice, please, to fulfill all righteousness. God, it all has to be fulfilled. And you remember, you know the Lord Jesus will say, I am come, the Jew is going to say, we're going to try to fulfill the law, righteousness, by our own works, Romans 10, 3 and 4. We're going to try to do all of that. And don't you know that you cannot fulfill the law? You cannot fulfill the law in and by yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfiller of the law. And because he dies on the cross, he is the one who fulfills the law, Romans 10, 3 and 4. And thus, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is to your account that he will put righteousness. He fulfills all the law. You telling everyone they need to honor, have righteousness, which they can't have, therefore they need to repent, and you're going to take me down now because I'm the one that makes it all possible. Why are they all repenting? Because I'm the one. They all need to look to me to have the result of repentance, which is the saving grace of God. So now he baptizes him to fulfill all righteousness. And you remember, all the statements made. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are yours. But you have to, God, what are we going to do? Without you, God, it isn't going to work. What are you going to convict the world of, Spirit of God? Of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of righteousness because I go to the Father. I'm the right one. I'm not the wrong one. I'm the right one. You want to know who? How are you ever going to get it together? I'm the one that puts it together. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove down upon him. Now, so here, a very, very special sign to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is identified publicly before himself, for himself, and for John. So John knows, they know. The rest of the people, something's going on, but they couldn't put it together. It was a confirmation for John, an affirmation for Jesus. Affirmation, no doubt. Confirmation, doubt. John had confirmation because he didn't want to do the wrong thing to this boy who he grew up with. And God affirms with no doubt, affirmation, no doubt, it's affirmed, that he's the right one. And God affirmed it, confirmed it. Thus, and God tied it together, so there's no question, God the Father, God the Spirit of God, and verse 17, 3 and 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So there's no question, anyone, anywhere. Is this a very public thing? A very public. John, are you going to be encouraged to do what you're going to do? Yes, I am. I am. It's the right one. And so the rest of my ministry is very, very positive in the sense that I know the right one. I may wonder, in the light of my being put in jail with Herod and all of that, I wonder a little bit, but then not only for a little bit. Only a little bit. So I'm going to go and point to him. Now, and that's why in the day of Pentecost, so many people got saved, because they all had got their heart ready to get saved. Thus, over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. And in verse 26, context. John answered them, remember the Pharisees asked about why are you baptizing and all of that, and we did all that together, why? Verse 26, Jesus answered them saying, I baptize by means of water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. You don't know him. He's going to walk right through the midst of you. You don't know him, said John, and this is after the baptism. You don't know him, but going down, if I can, to verse, you don't know him, and let me add to that, hold your finger here, and go over with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark and chapter 6. Why don't they know him? They should know him. I know him. Why don't you know? John chapter 6, may I go please, in verse, I'm not going to read that because that's Matthew. Mark chapter 6, and picking up please, in verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, 6 and 2, Mark. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man such things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, James, Joseph, Judah, Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Isn't he just a carpenter? He isn't a Pharisee. He isn't a Sadducee. Who is he? Look at his hands. He's a workman, an ordinary workman. You're nobody. Thus, they didn't know him. John 1 and 26, the end of verse 26, whom ye know not. Now, skipping if I can, to verse 31. I knew him not. Now you didn't know him, but I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest, I didn't know him. I didn't realize who he was. You know, I knew he was uniquely different. I had an inkling, a big inkling, that he was the Christ. I did. The baptism, I'm going to know for sure, but I had an inkling. I didn't know him. I knew him, but I didn't know him. Just like the Jews, they knew he was and able to do miracles, signs, and wonders, but they didn't know him. The Lord John the Baptist, I said I knew him, you know, up till the baptism. But when the baptism came, then I knew him. Verse 31, I knew him not. Going up, and you see the word, I'm going to hang on to that. Go up to verse 33. I knew him not. Now you got two I know him nots. Back down to verse 31. I knew him not, but. B-U-T. You're going to give me the help. But. That he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Why are you doing it? Because my whole ministry of God, pointing to the one who would take away the sin of the world, my whole ministry was to move Israel by baptism to awaken the nation. And for one reason, I was to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. I was to publicly recognize him as the right one. My ministry wasn't to all those people. It was for all those people to understand that he is the right one, not the wrong one. And he was baptized because he had no sin. He had no problem. No, he was baptized because he was the righteous one that could produce rightness. What do we all need in Jerusalem? Judea. Righteousness. Where are we going to get it? From the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, if you would, in the light of that, manifest, to make it very clear, public, plain, open, no question. And that's the word, by the way. The verb, to show forth, to show openly, to make very conspicuous, to put it in front so you can't miss it. Let me just show you for a sec. See John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and in verse 5. 1 and verse 5. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shined. When light shines, you should be able to see it, unless you love darkness rather than light, and you close your eyes so you don't see it. The word shineth, the verb shine in verse 5, back over to verse 31, is the word made manifest. to make manifest, to make it shine openly, very conspicuous, very plain, very public. Over with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and in verse 35. John 5 and 35. Speaking of John the Baptist, how would you tell about him? He was, John the Baptist, said the Lord, was a burning and a shining light. There's your word, to manifest. I came to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ so that you would all know he's the right one. Manifest, to shine. I'm out there in the middle of the Jordan and everyone's looking and pay attention to this one. And God mocks his own Son, Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all come together for this special event to inaugurate, to begin the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and thus, he is a burning and a bright shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. It was good to have John the Baptist, but when John the Baptist, it turned into all that it would lead to, which is you've got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then that's no good. We like everything about your program until you say that. We want all the benefits. We want all the advantages. We want to have everything going for us. We want it, God. Thank you. But if you mean I have to yield to who you are, and I have a need. Without it, I'm lost. I don't want to have to think about that. And thus, they rejected him. They rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Thus, John chapter 1. And you'll notice the second but, the first but, I knew him not, but my job, my assignment before God was to make it very clear that all my baptisms were leading up to his baptism. They were all about him, who he was. Now, the second, verse 33, I knew him not, but, B-U-T, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. Now, I didn't know him, but when, on that day of baptism, when I said, I can't even touch you, God. You're pure. I don't want to baptize you. And God said, you have to. And thus, verse 33, he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with or by means of the Holy Ghost. But he's the baptizer. You're baptizing the baptizer. Your baptism, John, doesn't do anything except get people ready. The one I baptize is the real baptizer that gets you saved. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, and thus having said that, he that sent me, and I saw, and I remember we read it in Matthew 3 and 16, of the dove, I saw the dove like a dove, and you know a dove has what? Is very fast, pure, lowly. It's a vegetarian, a dove. Dove is the sacrifice for the poor to come with doves, two turtle doves. Mary came to satisfy the law of sacrifice for a child being born, etc. And thus, doves, a dove. And interestingly enough, if you were a Jew and you were a child going to Jewish school and you were studying Genesis 1 like we did in Sunday school, and you were studying Genesis 1 and 1, 2, and then and the world became without form and void, and the Spirit of God hovered, brooded upon the face of the deep and looked over it, and the craftsman God put together and said, here's the material, and now he fashioned it in a most wonderful way, God did. as a dove, brooding as a bird over the thing. And they would ask the rabbi, and the rabbi would ask you the question, who brooded over the creation? And they said, God, like a dove. Now, it isn't a dove, but that's how they considered doves, dove. God, and that's the same word, by the way, that is used of the Virgin Mary when she conceives. The Spirit of God came upon her just like creation and created, conceived, and brought forth the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and I knew him not, but he that sent me, and the baptizer, and the one you're baptizing, as I said, is the baptizer. The Spirit of God is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who taketh away, who's going to take away the sin of the world. Verse 32, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending upon from heaven like a dove, and abode on him. It stayed on him. The Spirit did. So, John, what was the event that settled it? What was the confirmation about the affirmation? It was when God identified his Son. I said, don't. And God identified his Son, and the Spirit of God mocked him, came upon him, and God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So what am I going to do? You're the one. That's right. No question. You want to be very certain, sure, positive, John, what you're saying is wonderfully, wonderfully true. So that's why the Apostle John includes it in his letter, Gospel, 1 John, the Gospel of John, way back in 95, the last living apostle. Why are you going to include it? Because John makes it clear. The one I'm going to write 21 chapters about is the one, is the person. Thus, wow. So now, and I saw, verse 32, and I saw, conclude, and the word has to do with seeing conclusively, evidently, without any question, I saw the dove abide upon him, and I saw it. I saw it descending, and it stayed. It never left. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he never left him. Other people would come and go, but no, all the people I baptized, that never happened. He's very, very special. Now, having said that, and remembering that, and the God is going to go, and remember, all the Gospels deal with this, all four Gospels deal with the dove, etc. And now, having said that, in verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. I saw perfect, and I remain seeing long after. It's way back here in my life, but I want you to know, very vivid, I witnessed it, I am a witness, I saw it, and the result is I am still seeing it. I'm benefiting from it. And bear record, I still am bearing testimony. I did then, I still do now, as I did in verse, thou art the Son of God. That's right. The Lamb of God is the Son of God. Ah, wow. Now, so that having said that, keeping that in mind, thus over to 1 John chapter 5, if I can. Now, here we are on the other side. 1 John chapter 5. And verse directly in verse 20. The last statement John makes, same apostle, 5 and 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. Why? That we may know him that is true, genuine. And we are in him who is true and genuine, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the one. No question asked. Baptism place. The Spirit of God baptized. The Lord Jesus was baptized to identify with humanity, that he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The one who identified with humanity and who takes away the sin of the world is none other than the Lamb of God. We would have read in Isaiah, He's the only God, and He's the only Savior. And without Him, we have none. If we exclude You, God, we have no hope, and we have no help. God, and when John baptized him, he said, what I do is nothing for repentance. What you do it to the saving of their soul. Now, I'm going to try to illustrate without disaster, I hope. Very easy to have disaster. When I was young, I said, never fail. Never. I didn't say that, but you know, you make mistakes. Now that I'm old, I'd like to know when I can make it work. Now, I'm going to use the water and think of all the molecules, H2O. Here they are. All of humanity, from Adam to you and to everyone to come. We're all in here. You ready? We're all in here. In the line of Adam, all humans are there. And all humans need a Savior, and they're lost. They're lost. They need to be saved. Well, God, what did you do? All the different sacrifices were made all the way down the line, and the animals were burnt, but none of them could take away sin. None of them. They were just to remind us, like John's baptism didn't save anybody, but it made you ready to get saved, made you want to get saved, need to get saved. And so here they are. And now God sent His Son, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the Son of God. God, You did this. He's the last Adam, not the second Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45. He's the last Adam. The first Adam got us in. And there are no more Adams. There are no more Adams. He's the last one. There are no more human solutions. He's the last one. Now, in the light of that, here we are, and God, You have to do something wonderful for us. You have to save us. And all the Jews came to get saved. And here they all are, humanity. Now, God, what are You going to do to save them? Well, I'm going to take this food coloring. You probably can't see it back there, but it seems to be changing color. And I'd like to empty it so it doesn't get all over my suit, because Jeanette would get after me. Now, you got that? God sent His Son to die for the sins of the what? The world. And God infused, gave Himself for everyone from Adam to the end of the millennium, all human beings. God, what have You done? John the Baptist came to say, this is what's the Christ was going to do this. And then Christ did it. He died. Now, here we are. And I'm going to use a tissue. Each one of you are a tissue. Is that all right? I'll give you a rank, high rank, a tissue. Now, each one of you are a tissue. And here's a whole pile. Here you are. And all of you there, all looking out there. Very good. And I say that, well, I don't know. What was this business about God and Christ and being human and, whoa, God. Well, here we are. And then we all talk to each other. We all meet together. And we become religious and or nothing, atheistic or whatever, nothing. And we have, what do we do? But, John, what do you say? Judaism, as you know it, will never save you. Never save you. Never, never, never. You got to be saved, not be Jewish. You need to have a Savior, God, the only one. Thus. What do we need to do? Well, one of them steps out, the believer steps out, and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. Now, God, John baptized them, and when he did, they were telling the world, hopefully at least, that they repented and needed a Savior. Now, John said, I disappear, but the one who I'm pointing to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the one. I want you to know that's the one. He is the baptizer. The word baptize, to dip, to immerse, to identify. It is used of a, we use all kinds of different ways. It would be used of taking a ship and submerging it in the water. Taking a ink pen and taking the ink and submerging it onto a page. Ink, to identify with, to lie, to make a change, a wonderful change. Something happens. Now, God, you know, this person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ made it possible, as the Lamb of God, the only Savior, to save them. What did they need? They needed righteousness. Where am I going to get that? Well, I wonder, watch. Here's the tissues all lined up. And they're all saying, yay. But this tissue, smart enough to pay attention to the message of John the Baptist and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the tissue does, I want you to know that it's no longer the same. God made it possible for all the tissues to get in here. He died for the sin of the world. And the only sin, John 3:18 and 16:8 and 9, the only sin for anyone that you know, the only sin that will keep them, I don't care how bad they are, the only sin that will keep them from knowing and honoring and having God's wonderful righteousness is they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that unbelief condemns them. And they don't. God made it possible when He died for all of them to be changed. And so God looks at the world and is able to save whosoever would. And only those that would. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the power to become children of God. What do you think? That's what He did. He's the baptizer. He makes it possible for us, by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, to make us. And what's the purpose of the ministry of John the Baptist? It is what? The purpose of the Spirit of God's ministry, I should say. It is to John 16:13, etc. It is to point to and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we going to do? John, what did you do? You pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was your ministry. What's our ministry? To point to the Lord Jesus Christ. To point to Him. That's our ministry. To tell the world that can happen to them. Oh, no, it isn't for me. Then it won't be for you. But it can be. And you want to have the absolute settled assurance. Insurance. Settledness. It's for real. You'd never know it if you traveled up and down our land. You'd never know it. Our Father in God, deal with our head and heart and help us that we might learn, understand, and grow. God, who are we? So deal with us according to Your grace and mercy and kindness. And our God, we're going to thank You very, very much. Thank You for being who You are. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for caring. Thank You, God. We're looking to You, God. Going to look to You, who taketh away the sin of the world. God, thank You very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps you might like to turn in your hymnal, if you would. Turn in your hymnal, 0266, if you would. 266.